today, by the grace of God, we are going to cover the subject of God appoints the times. We need the understanding. Yes. Thank you, Father. Again, as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts today and give understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of kings to search out the thing. Hallelujah. So, according to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2, the Lord may conceal whatever he wants to conceal, but it's left for us to search it out. It's glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So, God is the one that appoints times. The times are in his hands, but it's for us to have understanding of those times. Now, when we talk about times or seasons, you know, that's just from our own perspective. There's no time really with God. There's no season with him, you know, but he did set up times and seasons. All the way from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, he began to put things in motion and he said, look, let all these lights and things in the firmaments and so forth, you know, let them be there to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, according to Genesis 1 and 14. So we see that these signs, I mean, these lights were for, you know, God put them in the firmament, and they are for signs. You know, that means, you know, if you can understand the signs, you know, they're there, you know, and also therefore seasons, and therefore days, and therefore years. Hallelujah. God ordained these things. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Lord gives us the indication that the things that he does, for an appointed time, you know, he says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. But it is for an appointed time. And the time that God appoints, he's the one that knows those times. According to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, we find that certain things are determined and appointed in advance by God. Praise the Lord. He said that the Lord is the one that had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed, you know, and the bounds of their habitation. So we see the Lord has determined the times even ahead of time. He's the one that appoints these times. And according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, first 8 verses, we see that there is a time for everything. And there's a season for every purpose under the heavens. Praise the Lord. So there's a time to everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born. It's a time to die for those that die. You know, there's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. Time to weep. And a time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. I mean, this man, he tried to cover all the various angles. Well, you know, for us also at this time, what time are we in? What is the season? What is God saying? What is the time that he has appointed unto us even now? Well, let's take a look. According to Psalm 102, verses 12 and 13. Now, these lessons, you know, that we are giving at this first part of the year, they are designed to encourage us to get going this year with believing the Lord and not fall behind. Praise the Lord. Psalm 102, the Lord says in verse 12, "But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever." That's how the psalmist saw it. "And thy remembrance unto all generations, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." Well, that's us, because we are the spiritual Zion now. "For the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come." There is a set time. It is called the time of the promise. According to Acts chapter 7, verse 17, we spoke about that the other day. As the time of promise draws near, some things that God begins to orchestrate. You know, so there is a time known unto God, all his ways from the beginning of the world. Well, let's see what the Lord has to tell us again in the book of Galatians. I'm just going to read a few scriptures for us today to encourage us to keep on believing. Praise the Lord. Now, according to Galatians chapter 1, let's see verses 1 and 2. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, is different, deferreth nothing from a servant." It's not any different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. "But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Well, so there is a time appointed of the Father when the Father is sure that the Son has come into full sonship. He's responsible, he's accountable, and he's fully informed, and he's learned, you know, he's learned the laws of the land. He knows the rules of engagement. He knows who the allies of the kingdom are. He knows who the enemies of the state are, and he's ready. He's been trained. He's battle ready. He's gone through a lot of training. And they put him through a lot, and he's now ready. Hallelujah. But it's a time that's appointed by the Father. Glory to God. Now, you know, whereas God is the one that appoints the times, it is our duty to search things out and to understand. What does the understanding of times give us? Now, let me put a disclaimer out. First of all, as I said before, that with God, there is no time, there is no seasons, there is no such thing as, you know, this and that, you know, the way we think about it, you know, well, it's a time for this, it's a season for that. You know, there is no such thing. God is eternal. But in our realm, and that's how he deals with us, because we are limited by time and space and so forth, God also deals with us, you know, in kind. You know, so there's times that he appoints, a time of refreshing, a time of restoration, a time of revival, a time of recovery, you know, and so forth. You know, and he appoints those times. You know, but for him, really, you know, and if we can elevate ourselves to the realm in which he functions, you know, we will not be constrained by time at all. That was why Jesus in Mark 11, when he saw the fig tree that was not producing because it was not yet that time for figs. Notice, the Bible says it was not yet that time of figs. So it was with the fig tree was within its right to not be producing. because it wasn't yet time for free, for the feast. And Jesus knew that, but Jesus, you know, was showing us a lesson that with the Lord, you know, we must be fruitful all the time. There should be no such thing as a time of unfruitfulness. There should be no such thing. Now let's read this in Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Yeah, you know, I mean, God's the one that appoints the season. You know, you plant, there's a planting season, there's a harvesting season. And the cycles, they go through cycles. And this, you know, these plants and these trees that bring forth fruits, they have their seasons. And so God appointed those things right from the beginning. You know, so this tree was in his own right to feel that, look, it's not yet time for figs. So, but when Jesus came upon the scene, Jesus would show us that, look, the master, when he comes, there's no question about time or no time. We should always be producing. Because with him, there is really no time. And he allows us to think in terms of seasons and times, but we can elevate ourselves to his level. So Jesus came there. Jesus also knowing that it was not yet time for the figs, yet he was disappointed that there was nothing on the tree. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, a paradox. I mean, you know it's not time for the figs, yet you expect it to produce. Well, that's the Lord. Because with him, you know, if you are meditating on the word of God, according to Psalm 1 verses 1 and 3, if you do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you don't stand in the way of sinners, you don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but you meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, then you're going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. And you bring forth your fruit in the season, and there will be no time that your leaves will wither. You will not be out of season. Never be out of season. Praise the Lord. So there was a time for figs. But yet Jesus said, well, because you were not producing, you know, then you're done. You know, so let's understand that God is not bound to these times. You know, these times are for our benefit only. There was a time when an angel came and stirred the pool, and whoever so first got into the pool was healed of whatever disease he had, according to the stories that we read in John chapter 5. But God is not bound to that. I mean, you know, but the people were. They thought that that was the only way that they could get their healing. They had to wait for a certain time and a certain place and a certain thing to happen. You know, and a certain condition must be just right. If you happen to be the first person to get in, after that, then you were healed of whatever disease you had. But Jesus showed us again that, look, you know, all those things about time and things and events and so forth. If you have faith at any time, you can tap into the glory of God. That's what he said to Martha. Did I not tell you that if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God at any time? Praise the Lord. You know, so that's how we must understand about, you know, God. God's not bound by this time. I want to set that forth. However, knowing that we have to deal with times, here is the way that we must have the understanding, because today's lesson is to know that God's the one that appoints the times, but it is on us to understand the times. It's on us. So according to the book of First Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 32, we see a group of people among the children of Israel that were called the children of Issachar. And they had understanding of the times. But let's see what that understanding gave them. He said, the children of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do See, they were heads, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So, these children of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. And because of their understanding, they knew what Israel needed to do. Now, the others didn't, because they didn't have understanding. Now, and that understanding also gave them an advantage. Made all the brethren to be at their commandment. So you see how powerful, you know, every day I come on this platform, I say the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. Now, understanding the times that God has appointed is so critical. Even though God himself is not bound by those times, but because we live in the time zone, we're still living in the realm of time, we need to understand the times that God has appointed, and that understanding will lead us to know what we ought to do, and if we get it right, it'll give us an advantage. Praise the Lord. So, what was it that they understood that they needed to do? Well, let's look at some examples, you know, in the Bible. In the story of Daniel, and I've alluded to this before, in Daniel chapter 9, let's read the first three verses and see. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. We covered this the other day. But I want to talk about the understanding. The understanding when he read the books of the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah talked about 70 years would be appointed, you know, for the desolations of Jerusalem and all of those. We covered that was yesterday or the other day. You know, this understanding propelled Daniel to do something. So the understanding of the times, just like the children of Issachar, made them understand what Israel ought to do. And what was it that Daniel did? Well, he understood what God said. And as they were approaching that time, you know, the ending of the season of captivity of those 70 years, he searched it out. He knew it. He saw that we were coming to that time, and he began to align himself to do something about it. Now, that's what the understanding of the times should bring us. Now, and then he began to pray. Now, and also in the next chapter, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year also of Cyrus, king of Persia, there was a thing revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed for it was long. You know, and he understood the thing. He also understood the timing. He also had understanding of the vision. So understanding of timing is so key in the things that God does. And this Daniel was in many different visions and there various things that God showed unto him, and he had understanding. Let's read also in Daniel chapter 8, verse 19. You know, the Lord sent the angel of the Lord to Daniel, and he told him, look, I'm coming to you, and behold, I will make you to know. See, that's Daniel 8 and 19. I'll make you to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. You know, I told him a lot of visions about the kingdoms and so forth. You know, and for at that time appointed, the end shall be. So God appoints the time of even the end. It's already appointed. You know, and but we must search it out. It's for us to have that understanding. In verse 27 of the same verse, it says, and I, Daniel, fainted, you know, and I was sick for certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision. But nobody understood it. Well, he did. Because God told him through the angel that it would be for a time appointed. And it is important for us to gain that kind of understanding. Let's also see what he was told in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Now, a lot of these visions he was given. Now, this one is about the so-called Daniel's 70th week. Now, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy holy city and thy people to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Now, these times are determined. Then 70 weeks of years. You know, so now I determine upon thy people and the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand. Now, understanding is always so key. The time elements that God has ordained and has appointed. Know, therefore, and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. You know, and he gave him a layout of this incredible prophecy. And there were three different sections in it. But he told him that, look, it is important for you to understand it. I'm not going to that prophecy right now. Just calling out the fact that God says you need to understand. Understanding is important for us when we are dealing in times and seasons. Now, we want you to know that sometimes when the Lord promises something, sometimes also it may be delayed for whatever reason, but we need to have understanding that there's a time appointed. For instance, Daniel, he was giving all these things, but he was told, seal up the vision, for it's not yet time. But at the time of the end, you know, these things will come about. Knowledge will increase. People will have understanding of these things again. You know, when Abraham received the promise, it was necessary for him to understand. Even while he was waiting many years, it turned out to be 25 years at the end, that he had to wait for that particular promise. There was a necessity for him to understand. He had to understand. He believed God at first when God said it, and God put it out for him to for his righteousness. Well, you know, along the way, he allowed his understanding, you know, to be swayed by his wife, because she put pressure on him, you know, and so forth. And he yielded to that. He should not have. He should have stayed right there with the understanding that this is what God said. And no matter how long it takes, we're going to wait for it. And he yielded to it. And lo and behold, we have this problem till today between Arabs and Israel and everything. You know, everything is known by God from the beginning, even things that are not yet there, things that have not yet happened. In Genesis chapter 15, when God was talking to this same Abraham about this same promise, he told him in verse 13 of Genesis 15, know of a surety, see, that your seed, now at this time, Abraham did not even have a child, but know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And will serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And God was beginning to give him understanding. Now, you know, when he understood this thing, he actually quaked and feared. There was a quaking that came upon him when he understood the things that would come upon, you know, his seed later on. But nevertheless, you know, the Lord said, I will bring them out with a great hand and a lot of substance. Now, the major things that God puts in play, they have timings. On the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. There was a timing to it. You know, it says, look, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And Jesus told them in Luke 24 and 49, he said, look, tarry ye in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that you have heard from me until, you know, until that happens, you wait there, you know, tarry ye until you be endued. So there was an until, and there was a time appointed by the Father, and it was to coincide with the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and God wanted to plan it that way, that the Spirit of God for the first time will be shed abroad on that exact day. It was all in God's timing. He planned it exactly like that. Now, what is God doing now? You know, having said all of that, what is God doing? What are the things that God has said? We heard about the emerging. We've now heard, we're now hearing about, you know, the quantum leap, the time that God's called for it. But let me read this to you in the book of Jeremiah, you know, chapter 8 and verse 7. Yea, the stork in heaven, I mean, all these birds and so forth, they know their appointed times. They understood these things, you know, and they understand. And they move, you know, during their migration seasons, they understand it. I mean, watch how nature works. They know the times. They know it when it's time to move. They know when it's time to migrate. They do all of these things. They understand these things, these creatures of nature, they understand their appointed times. And even the turtle and the crane and the swallow, they observe the time of their coming. They know when to go. They know when to hibernate. They know when to move. They know all these things. They understand it. But my people do not understand. You know, so God wasn't happy that we don't have understanding. We don't know the judgment of the Lord, you know, and how God has appointed things and how God has judged already that it is time to judge the heathen and the world that have oppressed the people of God and to turn tables around and put the blessing, the abundance of the seas and dromedaries and different things to come upon the children of God. There's a time that he called for it. But we need to have understanding. God's not happy when we do not have understanding. He blessed the children of Issachar because they had understanding. That also gave them an advantage, you know, over their brethren. So God wants us to have understanding. Now, here is something that the Lord said in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. You know, when John saw this mighty angel that came down from heaven that was clothed with the cloud and the rainbow on his head and all that, you know, and then he stood upon the sea, lifted up his hand to heaven, you know, and he put one foot over here and one foot over there. And he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and so forth, that there should be time no longer, no more delay, is what that means. You know, the appointed time is now here. No more delay. Even as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28, the Lord said, the appointed time is here. There shall be no longer any delay. The word that I have spoken shall now be done, you know, quickly. Hallelujah. And my zeal will perform it, saith the Lord. So these things that we are telling us and encouraging us about is for us to gear up, to suit up, you know, to put away the doubting and unbelieving minds and learn and understand what God is saying. God is the one that called for the time. It's not because you're doing anything, But when you understand it, then you must do something. It starts with God first saying it is time, or giving an appointed time. We search out the time, like Daniel, he understood, and he saw when he was getting to year 68 and a half or whatever. He said, look, we've been here now 68 years, 69 years. God said, you know, 70 years is what it will be. So he began to put himself on that prayer. You know, that's how you do it. When you understand the times, you begin to align yourself with the word of promise. You know, and God, when he puts that understanding in the hearts of people, it gives us even more confidence that, you know, it's no more a hit and miss. It's because God already ordained it and called for it. The times are in his hands, ladies and gentlemen, and God has called for it. And I cannot emphasize this enough, that we need to understand that, you know, don't be, you know, with a doubtful heart and saying, well, how do I know? You know, well, because God said so. It's just that simple. Rather than saying, well, how do I know? And so on and so forth. You know, well, God said so. But if you be doubtful and if you be unbelieving, then think again that there has not failed any of his good promise, which he had promised, either by the hand of Moses, you know, to the children of Israel, or throughout all the prophets and so forth. All have come to pass. Have not failed any one of his promises. Neither will these fail that he has promised us at this time. So be encouraged to understand the times. And if you don't have understanding, then search the scriptures. Praise God. You know, even Paul, he said, look, search the scriptures. These are the ones that are able to make you wise unto eternal life. You know, give you understanding. Jesus himself said, search the scriptures. These are they which testify of me. John 5 and 39. Search the scriptures. You know, when we search the scriptures, in fact, the people, you know, the Magi and all these people that came from the east to see the baby Jesus when he was born, you know, they had understanding. They had seen the signs. They searched the scriptures. They had understanding, you know, to know that this was what was happening. You know, so let us be aware of what God is saying. Let us be aware of what God is set to now do. And let us position ourselves accordingly, because the nature, the creatures of nature, they understand the times and the seasons. When it's time to migrate, they know it. You know, nobody comes down to teach them and say, it's now time to migrate. They know it. When it is time to move, they know it. When it's time to hibernate, they know it. But my people do not know these things. You know, so, but we must know these things. And praise the Lord, God has set watchmen, you know, upon their places. That's right. And the Lord said, look, I'm rising up early and sending them to you. Rising early and daily, sending them to you, such as me, coming here, encouraging us every day. Therefore, be ye not like the mule that has no understanding. We need to have understanding. Here is the way the psalmist put it in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. He said, look, the Lord has promised that he's going to guide you. He's going to instruct you in the way that you should go. But there is an element that we need to have. Praise the Lord. He said, look, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that thou should go. And I will guide you with my eye. But be ye not as the horse or as the mule and have no understanding. So the Lord wants us to have understanding. The horse has to be jerked around, you know, and they put the bit and bridle in their mouth and everything. They have no understanding. You know, the horse just wants to charge forward into battle. You know, it has no understanding at all. You know, so But the Bible says, don't be like that. You need to have understanding. And praise God that we have understanding like the children of Issachar. We understand the times. We understand the seasons. Well, you know, there are certain times which God has put in his hands. And until he reveals them, you know, they are in his hands. And that's why Moses said in Deuteronomy 29 and 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong unto us. Well, they are only secret until they are revealed. Once they are revealed, then they're no longer secret. Praise God. You know, and Jesus himself said, you know, there is nothing hidden that shall not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that shall not be known or brought into the open, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 17. And other verses, you know, that he talked about it likewise. You know, there is nothing hidden that shall not be made known. Praise the Lord. You know, and Matthew 10 and verse 26 talks about the same thing. He said, look, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. And there is nothing hidden that shall not be made known. So the hidden things may be hidden for now, but this scripture guarantees us that it will be revealed. And some things are actually already revealed, but people still think they are hidden because they are not searching out the matter. Now, you know, God likes to play hide and seek, if you want to call it that way. You know, seek me with all your heart, and so you will find me. So he likes to hide these things, and sometimes by the way to hide them is to put them in plain view. Puts them in plain view, and yet the people will miss it. You know, so Mark chapter 4, verse 22. I mean, these many verses of scripture, you know, in the gospels record these same sayings of Jesus in different ways. You know, say there is nothing hid that shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad. So even the things that God has hidden, it is for us to search it out, because he already said it may be hidden, but it will be revealed. But it will be revealed only if we search. You know, we search to understand. Mark 4:22, Luke 8:17, Matthew 10:26. I mean, all these things, all these verses say the same thing. You know, and so at times when it looks like, you know, something is hidden and we don't understand it, well, don't give up because of that. Search the scriptures. Even Luke 12 and 2 says the same thing. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed, neither hid, you know, and so forth, covered and so forth, that shall not be made known. I mean, at least four different places that I have cited now that say the same thing. So it is left for us to search out the matter. Search it out. The glory of God, it is to conceal a thing. He has appointed some times which he has concealed, but he will reveal them to those that search out the matter. And once you search it out and you understand it, then you align yourself with what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, summary of what we have said today is as follows. God has appointed this time, hallelujah, to bring advancement, to bring increase to God's people. And that, suddenly, that's right. That's why he called it Quantum Leap 2024. Now, it is left for us to get in the wheel, W-H-E-E-L, of understanding. Now, when we have that understanding, you position yourself just right. And you begin to pray accordingly. When God promises a thing, we have to be praying it down. Just like Elijah was promised the rain, and he heard it already in the spirit. the sound of abundance of rain coming. But yet, he had to pray fervently for the rain. He didn't just go sit down and relax. You know, so now that God has promised it, now that you know it, here is what we must be doing. One, we need to have understanding of what it is that God has promised. You know, because if, as I often say, if you don't know it, then it was not a promise to you. And even if you know it and you don't understand it, it will not benefit you. You know, so you have to understand it. But when you have understanding, you will then know, like the children of Issachar, what Israel ought to do. You will now know what you ought to do, you know, how you need to align yourself with the word of promise. And that, if you get that understanding and you are properly aligned and praying towards it and believing, that will give you an advantage. Because the all the other people were at their commandment. Their brethren that did not have understanding like they did were at their commandment. Their understanding gave them advantage. So I'm going to pray over the room. That's our lesson for today. Here a little, there a little. I'm going to be bringing these nuggets to help us drive forward, move forward in a state of constantly believing and expecting. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is going to do and perform time and time again this year these things that he has promised. And we want to hear testimonies again. But it's a quantum leap. It's a sudden. That's right. A sudden, a massive increase and advancement. Suddenly. Or movement from one place to another, a vast distance in between, suddenly. So it's called a quantum leap. It's not just a stride. Your stride may be about 3 feet wide. You know, or if you are very tall, maybe more than that. If you are running, it could be even, you can have almost, you know, yards in between each stride. You know, the sprinters, when they run, they take those long strides, you know, and so forth. However, you know, it's still limited to just a few feet or a couple of yards or so. But what God is going to do is to make your feet like hinds' feet and cause you to ride upon your high places, and it give you a supernatural boost. And then you find out that, my goodness, you covered so much ground suddenly. That's what a quantum leap is. But you must have this understanding. You must be praying towards it and thanking God for it and positioning yourself just right. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of admonition, the word of exhortation. We know that the times appointed, determined beforehand, are in your hands. And Lord, you have called forth this time to favor your people. Now I want to pray for favor everywhere upon you. Favor in your house. Favor when you are out. Because it is time for God's favor. And the king, I pray that the king will extend a golden scepter toward you, and that you understand what it means. And step forth by faith. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, when the king says, here is this scepter, and you step up by faith, put your hand on that scepter, anything the king can decree, the king can decree for you. And it doesn't matter what the law of the land says. Hallelujah. May the people of God have this understanding. I pray for favor everywhere. Favor in your homes. Favor in your jobs. If you're an entrepreneur, favor. Favor concerning your business. Favor concerning your work. Favor for promotion. Favor for, you know, to get married, if that's what you're looking for. Favor to have children, if that's what you're looking for. Favor to be healed, if that's what you need. favor everywhere. And quickly too. You know, hallelujah. What thou doest, do quickly. Now, what the Lord is doing, he says, look, my zeal will hasten it to perform it. Hallelujah. It's not going to no longer be dragged out, you know, because long hope wearies the heart. So we're not going to drag it out again until people, you know, get weary and fall back again. This time it'll be quick. It'll be a quick, short walk that the Lord will make. And we will be enjoying the blessings of the Lord. But you must have this understanding so you keep on believing. The Lord bless everyone that's listening in today, either live in the room right now or to the replays, that we may understand this thing that the Spirit of God has proclaimed for this year. And may that understanding give us an advantage to position ourselves through believing to experience that which God called for this year, Quantum Leap 2024. The Lord bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.